Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, yesterday we left the air talking about the other side of the coin, so to speak, in regard to faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ brings incredible benefit, incredible rewards, some of which we can enjoy and participate in and understand to a limited extent now, but the greatest measure of those rewards will not be clear to us until we are in the presence of Christ. But you can be sure of this, whosoever believes on him will not be disappointed. And that's what Peter tells us in quoting from Isaiah chapter 28. But then he also quotes from Isaiah chapter 8 and talks about the dangers of disbelief, of rejecting Christ. Great reward for those who believe, but tremendous consequences for those who disbelieve. And so he says, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. And it is that last phrase that raises our eyebrows a bit. What is that saying? To which they also were appointed. They stumbled, being disobedient to the word, to which also they were appointed. Is this saying that people are appointed to unbelief and to destruction? Well, we will look at that just briefly on this Thursday, September 5. Thank you for supporting us so that we can continue to teach God's Word on this station. I actually am not going to answer that question except to say this. No matter how you answer it, for those who up till this time have not trusted in Christ, this phrase, to whom, or to which rather, they were also appointed, does not shut the door to salvation to you or to anyone else. Because, as you remember, the verbs that refer to believing were all present tense verbs. Well, likewise, the verbs that refer to disbelief are also present tense verbs. So it is saying those who are presently not believing will receive serious consequences. Those who are presently stumbling will be confounded. Those who are presently disobeying the word will find this a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. But there is no necessity that this state continue. You don't have to continue not believing. You don't have to continue stumbling. You don't have to continue disobeying the word. You can turn from your unbelief and embrace Christ by faith. Now, what this does clearly promise, any way you want to interpret it, what it clearly promises is condemnation for all of those who persist in unbelief. Just as on the opposite side of the coin, there is incredible blessing and privilege for those who persist in faith, so there is unbelievable destruction for those who persist in unbelief. And that text, therefore, is given to comfort believers in the midst of hostility and persecution. So the conclusion is very clear. However you want to interpret that last phrase, which I am deliberately avoiding at this time, not because I don't have an opinion, or not because I am unwilling to deal with difficult subjects on this broadcast. If you've been listening for any length of time, you know that. But because I think the thrust of this text is better served if I don't answer that question, but just say to you, here's the point. You are invited to come to Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, by faith. You are invited to believe in Him. You are invited to embrace Him. You are invited to give Him the honor that is due to Him. You are invited to receive the eternal blessings that He bestows. And if you will come to Him, you will receive every blessing that has been secured by Him, both those that you can understand now to some extent and many more that you will learn about in eternity to come. But if you will not, there are serious consequences. Please know that. Don't treat this with indifference. There are serious, eternal consequences. This will cause you to stumble. That is, your life will go down. You are going down, is maybe a vernacular way to put it, if you don't come to Christ. You are going to be crushed by Him if you don't come to Christ. And therefore, I plead with you, turn from your unbelief and embrace Jesus Christ this very day. But now we move on to verse 9. And it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now this is obviously in contrast with those who stumble, those who disbelieve, those who are disobedient to the Word, those who are appointed to eternal condemnation. But, said Peter, writing to believers, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So this phrase, the chosen people of God, what does that mean? Some believe that the only proper use of that phrase, the chosen people of God, applies to Israel, to the nation of Israel. But that's not the way that Peter uses it here. He's writing to the church, members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, largely Gentiles, and he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a chosen people." Peter is teaching that the church of God is God's chosen people today. At this time in history, God's focus is on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is designated God's chosen people. Who are God's chosen people? Well, Peter tells us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. In other words, you are a chosen people. And he makes that very clear. But you, and that's emphatic, in contrast with the unbelievers in verse 8, but you, verse 9, this is personal, this is plural, but you, this is a plural you, but it is to be understood in the most personal way. You are people spared from deserved judgment. You are people of God's special favor. And in describing these people, the ones that he's writing to, Peter uses four phrases, all from the Old Testament. Peter quotes from the Old Testament an awful lot. And four phrases that were all used in the Old Testament scriptures of Israel, Old Testament Israel. But he applies them all to the people of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. You are, not shall be, this is not future, but present. You are these four things. And here's how Peter describes the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are, number one, a chosen generation. You are, number two, a royal priesthood. You are, number three, a holy nation. And you are, number four, God's own special people. That's what Peter says, and that's what we need to consider. and we'll take these up one by one. And maybe instead of saying you, though that is what Peter says, but let's say we. We who believe in Jesus Christ are, number one, a chosen generation. Now, the word generation can be understood in various ways, but primarily it has to do with a race, descendants from a common ancestor. You are a chosen race, a chosen people, an elect people. And that language is taken straight out of the Old Testament scriptures, where it was, as I've already said, applied to Israel, the people of God. Let me find Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, where God says to the nation of Israel, Moses speaking for God, "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Same language applied here to Israel, or you can find similar language in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 20 and 21. And here's what we read. Isaiah 43:20, "The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise." God is saying that I chose the nation of Israel. I formed the nation of Israel. I made a people for myself out of the descendants of Abraham. I made a new race of people. I chose them for that very purpose, to make them my people. But Peter picks up that same language, and now he says, this applies to you who believe in Jesus Christ now. You are a chosen generation, an elect generation, an elect people, an elect race. The church is the chosen people of God. And I think what we need to understand as we try to correlate these two concepts that some people consider to be opposing concepts, that Israel is the chosen people of God in the Old Testament, but the church is the chosen people of God in the New Testament or the New Covenant, is that a contradiction? How do we put this together? Well, here's how we put it together. Israel's election, there can be no question about Israel's election. They are the elect people of God. Israel's election illustrates the church's election. And Israel was elected or chosen to great privileges, but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is chosen to even greater privileges. Everything about the new covenant is better than the old, including the privileges that belong to the people of God under the new covenant. They are better than the privileges that belong to the people of God under the old covenant. And so we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are a chosen generation, that is, a chosen people, a chosen race. It is a wonderful, wonderful title, a wonderful piece of information that ought to cause great joy and gladness in the hearts of all who are trusting in Jesus Christ. And we'll go on to the next phrase tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.